The winter meetings continue out in San Diego. The Blue Jays have not done anything yet. Didi Gregory is signing in Philly, though.
Ooh.
So he's moving from the AL East to the NL East. And it sounds like Gerrit Cole, there could be a deal at any moment, and it's going to be a significant price, as we know. To get into it, we're joined now by former Miami Marlins president David Sampson. How you doing, David?
Good. How are you?
We're doing pretty well. How do you handle, I'm sure you would have been in the middle of this in the past. I love this mystery team that always gets involved. Like with Gerrit Cole, it's the Yankees, the Angels, the Dodgers. We know it. And now it's being peddled, and I'm sure it's from Scott Boras, that there's a mystery team or two mystery teams. If you're in the room and you're trying to sign a guy, does that even come up on your radar? Do you care about a so-called mystery team?
So I just did a whole segment on this on my show called Nothing Personal, which is a podcast. And I talked about the fact that that is so funny to me. When mystery teams matters, when you're talking about sort of maybe a mid-level to low-level free agent, where it's not all that important, he's not number one on your list, and you want to see who your competition is, and agents will drum up mystery teams in order to try to extract the last dollar for that mid-tier free agent. For Gerrit Cole, there's no reason in the world for there to be a mystery team. It doesn't exist, right? So every owner is aware that Cole is available as a free agent. Every owner wants Cole on his team. Every owner has spoken to the GM about seeing whether or not he could be a fit. And any team where he could be a fit has already contacted Boras and checked in. So Boras using that seemingly as leverage is totally misguided.
What kind of numbers are you expecting here for Gerrit Cole?
Jaw-dropping, mistake-prone, crazy numbers. I think that, look at it this way. Strasburg got 245 over 7, and he's pitching at 32 next year. He's been injured, has sort of a checkered injury past. Gerrit Cole has no such injury past, is 2 years younger. So under my math, I would say Cole could get 8 or 9 years at $37 or $38 million per year. And the question is there any sort of sanity to that level of deal?
Well, I mean, it depends on how desperate you are. It depends on what you get out of it. I mean, Washington is in kind of the opposite position, where they've already won with Strasburg, so they're like, why not double down? We just made a ton of money. He helped. Right. He won the MVP in the playoffs and in the World Series. Where if you're, let's say, the Yankees, and you have not won a World Series in quite some time, if you give them a 7 or 8 year deal at upwards of $300 million and you win a World Series in year two and his arm falls off in year three, does it really matter? You got your World Series.
So that's where my head is. You know, the CC Sabathia deal with the Yankees, they got a ring from CC with DC. That makes it all worth it in the later years when you're paying $30 million to a guy who's a number five starter at best and really probably a number six or a number seven starter. And I think for Gerrit Cole, the ace that he is, I mean, just what great timing for him and for his family, just like Rendon, sort of coming off the greatest possible year you could ever have going into free agency with teams who have money and desperation. Because you have to be both desperate and have money, and when those two things happen, that's when you get these explosive sort of growth in contracts.
Well, David, you've been part of those kinds of negotiations, pitches before. What are they like? Like, I was looking back, I think you were in Florida when you signed Pudge Rodriguez. Like, what are those conversations like when you're trying to lure a free agent like Pudge or like Gerrit Cole to your organization?
Well, Pudge was easy because in 03, no one wanted to sign him. And so we gave him a one-year deal at $10 million, and he took it so fast that we couldn't even finish with the offer because he couldn't get a long-term deal. The next year, he got 4 years and $40 million from Detroit, and we couldn't afford to defend our World Series title with him on the team at that number. For a free agent like Gerrit Cole, it's not really, you know, there's so much media and talk about the meetings where everyone flies to meet with Gerrit Cole and take him out to dinner and try to get to know him as a person and have him get to know us. That is absolute horse hockey. It doesn't matter. What Gerrit Cole wants and what he will get is the highest dollar. So really what's happening is Scott Boras tells teams, if you want him now, like right now, and you don't want him to even consider any other team, it's going to be 400 over 10.
Huh.
So give him $40 million a year for 10 years, and I promise you, we won't talk to anyone else. And I have said yes to that with certain players over the years. Like when we signed John Buck, we were told by his agent, give him 3 years and you'll get him because no one's offering him 3 years. But anytime you say yes to what an agent asks for, you are overpaying every time.
With David Sampson, the former president of the Miami Marlins and the host of the Nothing Personal podcast. In terms of those pitches, I mean, that leads us into where the Blue Jays are at, where the Jays and their staff, they're out there in San Diego, and they're letting everyone know that they're being aggressive, and they're talking to everybody. And Charlie Montoyo, their manager, he came out, and this is what he had to say about a part of the Blue Jays pitch when they get in these rooms with the agent and with the players.
Well, it's the funny thing about Toronto, you have to be there first to see what it looks like. Like, you know, like you can ask Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion, all those guys, how much they love Toronto. And if you've never been there, you don't really know. I didn't know. And I mean, it's just a beautiful city, the diversity of the town. You're playing for a country. But the only way to find out is getting there. And that's the pitch we're trying to, you know, we made a video, we're showing people how beautiful it is. What a beautiful country, what a beautiful stadium, the fans, it's just a great place to play.
So, yeah, I mean, Charlie's in a tough spot because he's the manager.
I love Charlie. Let me just say this. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But if he, I mean,
a video,
he can't actually believe what he just said, can he?
No. And it's like the Blue Jays have been in the league since 1977. Right, like, yes, I get it. Toronto, for American ball players, maybe, you know, different ball players from around the world, they may not think of Toronto or be as educated about what it's all about. They may just say it's Canada, it's outside of the States, we've got to clear customs, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But in anyone that's been in the league for a while, you've been through Toronto like a dozen times, and you spend 3 or 4 days here. Yeah, you know what Toronto's all about.
You know the city. They're not.
No video.
They don't care, guys.
Exactly.
The players don't care. Can I give you a great example that makes me laugh to this day? When Mike Hampton signed his long-term deal with the Colorado Rockies, he stood up on the podium, and he said, I signed with Colorado because you have no idea how great their school system is for our kids. And in the industry, we just laughed at him because Colorado completely overpaid him in years and money. And it happened with Manny Machado in San Diego. Manny Machado got on the interview, got on the microphone and said, I went through their whole minor league system. This is a great team with great prospects in a great city. And we laughed because they offered him 300 over 10. He would have signed with the California Penal League if they had offered him 300 over 10.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Toronto can make a video from the Chamber of Commerce and Charlie can say those things. But unfortunately, the reality is that for players, they do a tax calculation and that's all they do. So they do the tax rate, they meet with their accountants, and they compare what a Marlins offer in Florida would be to a Blue Jays offer in Toronto to a Yankees offer in New York. And then they decide who has the highest after-tax income that they can get, and that's where they sign.
Always appreciate the insight. Thank you for doing this, David.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a good day.
David Sampson, the former president of the Miami Marlins.